People Station.
Are you ready?
92.3 Inspiration FM.
Hello and good afternoon to you. Welcome to Under the Sun, brought to you by the British Council. Under the Sun comes up every Saturday at 1 p.m. But today's episode is one of a kind. Well, sad to say that the series has come to an end. 9 weeks of stories from every part of the country, from Dancing Gods, written by Chidioko, to The Death of Innocence by Justina, to A Paddle and the High Seas, to Home at Last, to African Astronaut, and basically 9 writers, 9 stories, 9 views from different Nigerians all across the continent. And it's been so far so good. It's been a wonderful journey, and it's been fun, you guys calling in every Saturday from 1 to 1:30. Today we have the last of the series. It's titled The Blood of Innocence or Sides of Silence, written by Ifeanyi Ajiegbo. I'm going to be playing that in a couple of minutes. The number to call is 277-3923 or 277-2923. If you have any questions or contributions, that is the number to call. So get your phones loaded with credit and stick around right here between 1 and 1:30. Again, the last story for this week in the series of short stories from British Council is coming up today. All right, and it's titled The Blood of Innocence or Signs of Silence. And don't forget that Under the Sun is features the best of contemporary Nigerian writing, brought to you by the British Council. The series was devised by Graham Mote and produced by Chidi Oku. All right, that's Graham Mote and Chidi Oku. Under the Sun, the hottest stories by contemporary Nigerian writers, dealing with everything, absolutely everything under the sun. Okay, enough talk. I'm going to play the last of the series right now. Like I mentioned, it's written by Ifeanyi Ajiegbo. It's titled The Blood of Innocence or Signs of Silence. The number again, 277-3923 or 277-2923.
Dead man. I'm a living dead man. My name is Sizwe Mgondo Baana Itinabe. I was a prince of Ba in Ogoni Kingdom. That was 2 months, 3 weeks, 5 days and 7 hours ago. That was before the night of madness and mayhem. Now I'm no longer a prince. No prince sits in a tiny LS cell waiting for the judge's gavel to fall and a pronouncement to be made. And with each passing second of the wait, the same question asked over and over again. Will I live? Will I die? These are difficult questions, especially when I have no control over the decisions that will give the answers. Perhaps they do not have answers, yet they come again and again. Will I live? Will I die? Sometimes I try to be brave and say to myself and to the gathering darkness, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. Other times, the fear comes back with the dusk. Funny, this coldness that grips my soul with fingers of ice, it only comes as the darkness calls. And each time it does, I'm not sure that if I live, I live, or if I die, I die. Also, each time it comes, I remember things best forgotten. I remember the days the passions of men's heart ruled the reason of their heads. Ah, that time. That time. Sometimes I wish that period never was. A part of my life I never lived. But I can't. History is always made, never unmade. The ghosts are here again, like they come with each call of darkness. The first is Opuyo. He walks in as usual, carrying his head in his hands, held out before him like he's offering it to me. Perhaps, even in death, he He never realized that the day I killed him, I never wanted his head. That it was nothing personal between us. That it was something between our fathers. And their fathers. And their own fathers. It was this that made us enemies even now. Even in death. Tonight, like the other nights, he holds out his head to me. And tonight, like the other nights, a shake of my head is the answer. He turns and walks through the wall. Then comes the girl whose name I never heard and may never know. She's in her tattered clothes, which I remember from the night she died. The same clothes she removed each of the other nights she came, in preparation for offering herself to me. I raped her one of those nights, when madness ruled the land, and afterwards the men in my band took her. I did not know they killed her afterwards. I know now. I only remember her voice as she begged me to save her when she realized I was the leader. Perhaps that's why she comes to me now, and not to the others. I could have saved her if I wanted to, but who saves his enemies in war? She stops before me, hooks the thumbs of her hands under the blouse and lifts it above her head. I want to turn away as she draws the same dirty brown-colored skirt down, but cannot. A force I cannot understand keeps my head in place, my eyes riveted. The skirt slides down her long legs. Then she comes to me, a wicked, lascivious smile on her face. Mischief becomes this ghost, and she confirms that thought when she stops before me and thrusts her hips out, her nakedness almost shoved into my face. I know what she's offering. The same thing I took from her by force that night as we wrestled on the grass among the glowworms and the fireflies before the others held her down. But time has come and gone. The madness had died, and I cannot take from her now what she gives willingly. Again, as I did with Opuyo, I shake my head with a smile. Then she does something strange. In the past, she shrieked each time I turned her down, her anger almost palpable. But not tonight. She smiles and reaches out her hand as if she wants to touch my cheek. Then she's no longer there. What happened? Why did she not shriek as usual? Why did she smile instead, and in such a gentle manner? Then I know death comes. I do not even have the opportunity to dwell on this new thought before I feel the draft of the cold wind. I look up instantly, my eyes going to the door. Then I cross myself. Ghosts do not open doors. The wind is getting colder and stronger, swirling around the cell in powerful gusts. What is strange about this wind, and what has always been strange about it, is that it touches nothing else but me. Not even the shirt hanging on the back of the reading chair. I continue to look at the door because I know who is coming. Shifting on the bed is an instinctive effort to create more space. I know, though, that ghosts do not need space like humans do. Chimongo never comes alone. No, he never does. He comes with everyone. All those who died that night, the villagers were locked up in their houses and set on fire. The wind is getting colder and stronger. Then it stops abruptly. Chimongo walks through the wall. He pauses to look at me, as if he wants to make sure I am still me. He comes forward. The crowd come behind him, filling every space in the room, and at the same time, unbelievably, seeming to take up no space at all. Chimongo stops before me.
How are you today, Sizwe?
He always does this. Says my name at the end of the question. A long time ago, I used to wonder how he knew my name. The wondering stopped when I realized that ghosts must know everything. So, Chimongo knows. I'm as well as can be. I talk to Chimongo, though he speaks to my mind, using not words, but thoughts.
That does not sound too good for someone who once gloated over the blood of innocence.
The blood of innocence?
Look around you, Sizwe. Look around you at all these people. Did they do anything to you?
I did not kill them.
Your people did.
I am not my people.
And you killed Sizwe. You killed me.
You were a warrior. If I had not killed you, you would have killed me. If my people had not killed your people, they would have killed us.
And the women, the children, they were warriors too.
What happened was war, Chimungu. War. People die in war, even women and children. And Chimungu says nothing after that. Just looks at me. Then he smiles. But I feel no warmth in his smile. The wind gets colder and stronger. Chimungu looks at the crowd surrounding me, a lost, wistful smile on his face. He turns and walks away toward the wall of ghosts, taking the others with him. Long after Chimungu has gone, I sit and stare at the wall opposite me. Is what I said about war true? Do you have to kill or be killed? At the height of the madness, they tried to kill us as we tried to kill them. Just that there were more of us than there were of them. Just that we started killing them first. But they killed us too, did they not? Then about the women and the children, was I right? Were they things to be destroyed just because there was a war? A lot of them died, consumed by a rage they knew nothing about. Could their deaths have been avoided? Could I have saved those who begged to be spared? Those who could not have harmed us even if we left them to live? A lot of them died. I know that now. And in war, women and children die, don't they? It was war, Chimungu. It was war. I turn away from the steel bars and look at the wall through which Chimungu had taken the other ghosts. A sudden and inexplicable longing rises in my soul for them to come back. I will die with the coming of dawn. I hear the whispers as I come from the showers. I see the sideways glances from the wardens and the other inmates, the damned and the children of the damned. And I know what the eyes say, that the mouths do not form. Yes, the darkness will take over my life as the sun gives light to the world. They will kill me with a lot less respect than they will a dog in a cage. This is not the life of a warrior. This is not the death for a prince of the Ogonis. The fabric of the shirt feels warm and rough between my fingers. I roll the shirt into a slim rope without much emotion. The small chair beside the bed squeaks with metallic agony as I fling the loose end of the shirt rope across the bar, spanning the length of the small cell. Passing the loose end through the knot in my hands, I feel the dread I have fought for so long seize my soul. I raise the knot above my head and allow it to settle on my shoulders, around my neck. The wind comes back, and with it, the sighs of darkness. And those words that will not go away. If I die, I die. If I leave, I leave. Then I give a small kick.
Welcome back. Still Under the Sun, brought to you by British Council. That was The Blood of Innocence or Signs of Silence, written by a Nigerian called Ifeanyi Adiegbo. I'll be playing back the phone interview I had with him not too long ago. But before that, you have a chance to call in to, you know, ask your questions or your contributions. 277-3923, 277-2923. And like I mentioned earlier on at the beginning of the show, this is the last in the series of short stories brought to you by the British Council. We have been for the last 9 weeks playing back contemporary Nigerian writing by contemporary Nigerian writers, dealing with everything under the sun, from stories like An African Astronaut, written by Shola Mosoro, to My In-Laws by Bumi Julius Adeoye, to The System, written by Tiro Amina, Home at Last by Chika And the list just goes on and on. And if you've been an ardent listener, then you know exactly what Under the Sun is all about. I just played to you The Blood of Innocence, written by Ifeanyi, which basically talks about a war criminal in prison who faces the ghost from the past, namely a warrior named Chimongo. The war criminal is Sizwe, and from the Ogoni tribe, and he is basically facing his past, you know, the war, the violence, the rape, the killing of the women and children, as he has a monologue with himself and sometimes dialogue in some places as to what he did, why he did them, and was it worth doing. All right, that's basically what this story is all about, and I'll be playing back the phone interview I had with Ifeanyi. But if you have any questions or contributions, it's just me and you today, before 1:30 p.m. 277-3923 or 277-2923. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to... Okay, we lost that caller. 277-3923-2923 is the number to call if you want to be part of the show. And seems the rains are affecting the communications a bit, but please keep on trying, okay? Hello, good afternoon. How are you? What's your name, sir?
Ben.
All right, Ben, welcome to Under the Sun. What's your question or contribution? What do you have to say about the story? Oh, lost that one. 277-3923 or 277-2923 is the number to call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's the name, sir?
My name is Kainde.
Oh, Kainde, welcome to Under the Sun. What's your question or contribution?
The contribution is that I really lost that. I'm listening to the station for the first time.
Oh, okay.
As in, when I had the dialogue between Uchimbu and all that, I really lost the concept. The concept was very nice.
Hmm. So what's your take on the story itself? You know, what can you deduce from the story?
It's a nice story. It's about a war that went on, as in the guy this ghost are hunting him. This ghost of the people he killed.
Mm.
The women he killed, the children he killed, the women he raped. The ghost came back to haunt him.
Okay.
I think the ghost that hunted him that led to his death. I think he hanged himself.
Well, let's just see how it goes. Thanks a lot for calling, Kainde.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Welcome to Under the Sun.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
From...
What's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Thomas.
All right, Thomas, what's your question or contribution?
My contribution... This is just my first time hearing listening to the program. I'm really very interested of the program.
Okay.
Yeah, the conclusion is that the children and the big kid, I think the ghost that come back to the victory against the man, killing.
Okay, Thomas, I'll have to cut you there. Sorry, it seems the rain is interfering with the phone calls, but please do keep on trying. Right about now, I'm going to play back the phone interview I had with the writer of this particular story. His name is Ifeanyi Ajiegbo, and basically this is what he had to say about the story.
My name is Ifeanyi Ajiegbo. I'm a development consultant living and working in Port Harcourt, Rivers State. Basically, what I do is consult on community development, design strategies for intervention, and do a lot of governance and conflict management. The story is about a war criminal in a jail, in a prison. He's already serving a sentence for crimes committed during a tribal war. But the sentence he was serving from the justice system wasn't enough. The ghosts of those he killed came to see him and then came to talk to him about what he did to them. Not only did he have retribution coming from the legal system, he also had a lot of psychological and spiritual retribution coming too.
Okay, can you describe your main character in this story?
The man in jail was a tribal chieftain. He was a tribal warrior. Basically, the story is set in the Niger Delta, where you have a lot of intercommunal clashes over resources, water, oil reserves, right of way, whatever, you know, that packs such conflict. And he thought he was what he was doing was for the good of the community. But he forgot that taking a life is actually not in the best interest of anyone in the first instance. At the end of it all, he was actually asking himself whether what he did was right. And he had to resort to one statement: if I die, I die. If I live, I live. There was a revelation close to the end of the story where he discovered, it became obvious to him that all these issues have been handled without so many people dying and dying the way they did in cold blood.
There are instances where dialogue doesn't work, and some people resort to violence. What's your take on that? If dialogue doesn't work, then what is the next step?
Dialogue always works if you give it enough time. What happens is that people get impatient after the first interaction, after the first engagement, second engagement. There seems to be that there is no headway made, right? People now say, okay, fine, all is lost as far as dialogue is concerned. Let's take to arms.
Do you think violence is a way of drawing attention to the plights of people?
History has proved time and time number that violence never saw anything. Let's look at the two world wars. Let's look at the battles for revolution, the revolutionary battles in France, in Russia, in the United States. Let's look at what's happening in Niger Delta. What violence does is to destroy people, destroy property, and then take development back to dark ages. Violence makes it difficult for development to take place. Dialogue and negotiation work, and they work, and they work. Rather than kill, we should get together and talk to each other like human beings. Killing will never solve anything.
Thanks a lot, Ifeanyi.
Work, and they work, and they work. Rather than kill...
Okay, that was Ifeanyi Ajiegbo, who wrote The Blood of Innocence or The Signs of Silence. That's the story you just heard. And basically, what we should take away from what he said is that, violence does not pay. There should always be dialogue. A very interesting story right there. And have more callers. If you want to be part of the show, you can call in on 277-3923 or 277-2923. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Under the Sun.
Good afternoon.
What's the name?
Yemisi.
Yes. Okay, what's your question or contribution?
I don't have a question. I just want to, contribute. You know, in the world we're living in presently, there are wars all over. America could just wake up tomorrow morning and feel like, Nigeria, you guys are disgusting, and they will just send some bombs down, you understand that kind of thing. And thank God...
We pray not.
Nigeria, almost every street, there's a filling station. They don't even have to stress themselves. Just drop it in the filling stations, and voila, fireworks. You understand?
So what's the point, Yemisi?
Thank God for people like Solomon. You know, it was only when Solomon was the king in Israel that they didn't go to war. Because he had wisdom, so I think they would just dialogue and sit around the table and discuss.
Okay.
And, you know, no wars and everything. But thank God for little mercy.
I guess I agree with you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for checking in, Yemisi. Okay, let's just see who this is. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome to Under the Sun. What's your name?
My name is Benjamin.
All right, Benjamin.
On the road.
Okay, is it raining in your end?
Yes, it is.
Okay, what's your question or contribution?
I actually have a contribution. I listened to the excerpt that was read from the book.
Okay.
I believe it's a book.
It's a story. A short story, yeah.
It is beautiful. It actually... brings attention to what goes on in the man's mind, you know, when you're remembering all the atrocities that he may have committed in the past, you know, when he's known.
And
there's nobody, there's no grandstanding, he's just there.
I'm just curious, Benjamin, how do you think the story ended?
I think he lost his mind there.
I
think he lost his mind because he was obviously hallucinating.
Okay.
He couldn't even wait for the hangman's nose to come. He had to create one for himself.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Benjamin.
Okay.
All right, still Under the Sun. Don't forget that Under the Sun is brought to you by the British Council. We've been on air for about 9 weeks, 9 different stories, 9 views from 9 different contemporary Nigerian writers dealing with everything under the sun. This particular one is the last in the series called The Blood of Innocence or The Signs of Silence, written by Ifeanyi Ajiegbo. And I think that's a wrap for now with respect to Under the Sun. And it's been 9 weeks of absolute fun. fun. To all the people who have called in, all my guests who have come into the show to contribute. And, well, I just hope every listener out there, new or old, has been able to pick one or two things and been able to relate to it and make a change in their individual lives or collective lives as Nigerians. I'm just going to take one more call before I call it a wrap on this week's edition. Hello.
Hello.
You're on my last caller. Welcome to Under the Sun.
Okay, my name is Emeka.
Emeka, what's your question? You called just now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. What's your question?
Is it a story or just a novel?
It's a story. It's a short story.
Okay, okay.
Written by a guy called Ifeanyi Ajaibo.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. All right then. My name is Oscar. Thank you very much to all the callers. Kehinde, Thomas, Emeka, Yemisi. It's been fun. It's been real. Thank you very much. And special thanks also to the British Council. The series was devised by Graham Mort and produced by Chidi Okwo. Under the Sun, the hottest stories by contemporary Nigerian writers dealing with everything under the sun. This broadcast and all the other broadcasts is an output from the Radiophonics Project, funded by the British Council. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the British Council. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful afternoon. Titi will go on with the show right here on Inspiration FM.
People Station.
Are you ready?
92.3 Inspiration FM.